Welcome back to the Hardline. Enter at your own risk.
Hey, welcome back to the Hardline. 590 The Fan, KFNS, and 590thefan.com. Joining us now, Eddie McVay, the fine owner of this here fine establishment. Eddie, we were looking for you earlier, and you were running around the building doing all sorts of
The trailer was getting dropped off, and I had to help him back it in. The trailer where Todd Thomas will be DJing tomorrow.
So very nice.
Come on down for the parade that runs through downtown tomorrow. We'd love to see you.
Give me if somebody has 1 hour to spend tomorrow, what time of day should they be here, and what should they be consuming?
Well, if they're going to be doing the parade, obviously that's a little bit different, but it'll go right in front of Maggie's here, so you can enjoy that. But the rest of the time, you're going to be able to do any of the AB products, so your Bud Light, your Bud Select, Budweiser, Ultras, and then, of course, Guinness and Jameson.
Uh-huh.
So we keep it simple on this day just because there's so many people. We keep it very simple. So that would be the deal there. And from a food standpoint, we also do keep it simple just because we want to keep people moving people through. So it's not like a sit-down and a normal menu or anything. We just do steam tables inside and outside. And it's burgers, brats, dogs, corned beef and cabbage, and Reubens, and that's about it. That's what you can eat.
Staples, I like
just
it.
Just keep moving them, and everybody having a good time. So we look forward to seeing everybody. That's on Saturday, and then obviously Sunday is the actual St. Patrick's Day, and we'll see. We're going to reset this place, and we'll see you guys downtown. Or if you want to, we'll see you at Maggie O'Brien's in Sunset Hills.
Yeah, that's a great location over there. We went, maybe it's like, it was last year. When did you guys officially open that one?
Yeah, that's November, I guess, so maybe a year and a half, something like that.
I
made it Maggie's in January, so it's been just over a year.
Pretty
so
good.
It's going good. Yeah, we're enjoying it, man.
It's a great setup. It really is. And this year especially is special for you guys because it's year number 40.
Correct, 40 years. So downtown Maggie's has been owned and operated by a St. Louis family. The original was Harry Belli, and then my brother and I bought it from him. So a St. Louis family has owned and operated Maggie's since 1979, which is pretty cool in St. Louis, man. Yep. In today's climate and everything with people coming and going and leaving, a lot of the staples have left. And it's cool to still be a St. Louis family-owned business downtown. So we're excited about it.
It is rare. Because, corporate, whatever, this is happening in Columbia, Missouri right now, too. Corporate everything. So there's a Wendy's in the Hy-Vee parking lot, right? It's pretty cool coming in here and seeing you sitting at the bar.
Right.
That is a rarity. No. You're not going to get that.
No, thank you. Yeah, I do that. My heart doctor says I do that too much. But, I am. I'm always around. I feel, what's funny is every time, wherever you're at, they say, well, I was at your other place. You weren't there. Everyone always tells me where I'm not, but I feel like I never leave either one of them. But I'm always around, so. If anyone that's listening and never comes down, please come up and say hi, and I'll buy you a beer.
So how tough is this weekend for you? Obviously, we're not here to complain, but there's a ton of stuff to do. We were just talking sort of off the air how you got to move everything. You're getting it all set up because it's going to be pretty crazy.
Yeah, it's nuts, it's a blessing in disguise. I mean, you got to do it to enjoy or reap the benefits, I guess.
Sure.
But it is definitely a whole lot of work. You'll walk through the crowd and you can hear people all the time saying, man, this place is killing. But, it takes a lot to put it on. Being said, it's also very good, especially if the weather's nice and whatever. It can be very good. So there's a lot that goes into it. But we enjoy it, and we enjoy seeing the same old faces year after year. And tomorrow is the day that, pretty much all of St. Louis is here at some point, I feel like. So we're looking forward to it, and I think we got it under control. But every year I say that, and usually there's a hiccup along the way.
Tomorrow, I'm looking at the weather report right now. Tomorrow is a high of 50, which is during this winter is fantastic.
Right
this
on.
Has been brutal. And there is not a cloud in the sky. On Sunday, 51, not a cloud in the sky. So
right.
I thought that there was a contractual agreement with God that it rained every St. Patrick's Day. It turns out that is not true.
Clearly God or Jesus or both is, or the Holy Spirit is Irish. I almost said he's Catholic. I didn't want to make anybody mad out there. There are people. So is Irish. But we're looking forward to it. And then we combine all this with our 40th year anniversary, which we're doing monthly giveaways.
Yeah. What is that this month?
So this month is Breckenridge Brewery, which is in Littleton, Colorado, and they're doing a VIP tour. Mm-hmm. And basically you get flown up there through Southwest Airlines, two people, and then they'll put you up, and you're up there for a couple days and do a VIP thing and then do whatever else you want to do. But it's a pretty cool prize they're doing. And we're trying to do something like that every month that's significant, that's fun, that's different. as a real giveaway. MaggieO'Brien's.com, sign up there, or like us or follow us on Facebook, and that'll automatically put you in that month's drawing. Every month it's a new thing, and then every month there's a new food and drink special.
Do you have them planned out for the whole year already?
Yeah, we do, and you're going to catch me off guard here.
No, you don't have to tell me. I'm just curious.
All my waitresses are probably rolling their eyes right now because I want them to know, but I don't have to. So anyway, yes, we do have those. I'm not sure what they all are. I know we've given away Mizzou tickets, yep. Blues tickets, okay. Flogging Molly tickets. I think next month, don't hold me to this, but I'm 99% sure. My general manager told me that next month is going to be four tickets to share.
So, wow. All right.
Yeah. And so it's kind of cool. We're just trying to do something that's a little bit different, not the same old same.
Yeah.
You know? So, and then in the end of October, and I know it's not December, but there's just so much going on in December. It makes it hard to do it then. But towards the end of October, I think the third weekend, we're actually going to do our final weekend 40-year blowout, even though we'll do still 40 years through December.
Sure.
That's going to be our big party. We're going to have the Clydesdales here. We're going to make it a real blowout.
Wow.
To celebrate 40 years. So we're looking forward to it, and we're proud to be down here for this long, man. It's a big deal because you don't see a ton of it, and we're
and
proud
you're seeing
of it.
Less and less. So, that's yeah. the other
so
thing.
Clearly, you guys clearly plan for these big parties, so my question is there a folder somewhere with the party planned if the MLS team gets announced?
Well,
is there a folder and some plans ready to roll?
That one just has the Hail Mary written on it. That part of the deal we're just rooting and hoping for, and from there, when that happens, or if it does happen, which I think it would, if it does, we're just going to kind of go along with it and see what happens and try our best to make good decisions.
That'll be a fun ride.
I saw some odds on this, and Rock is a soccer nut, so he would be able to tell you everything that's going on. I actually saw some odds come out on this the other day that I right now, that are they adding?
They're second most likely, yes.
Yes, they're so the second most likely. So they would be one of the teams, Sacramento being the other.
But didn't Sacramento just get, like, some big billionaire that support them, too, which made it get a little bit more real?
I think that's why their odds were, like, minus 130, and then St. Louis was second with, like, plus 250 or so.
Wow.
That's about the odds breakdown. So Sacramento looking very likely. We're looking at second, and, I mean,
plus 150 for Sacramento, plus 250 for St. Louis.
Oh, sorry, so plus 150.
Phoenix next at plus 450, then Detroit at plus 900.
Indy,
Charlotte, Tampa Bay, Las Vegas, and San Diego.
I'll tell you what, even if for whatever reason we didn't, and I hope that we do, and I don't want to bring us bad luck, but if that was the case.
Luck of the Irish, man.
Right, exactly.
Do it.
If that was the case, man, there needs to be some love towards Enterprise and Worldwide Technologies because you can't expect them to step up again whenever in – I mean, they're putting it out there for our city, man, and that cannot go for a little guy that's just trying to make it and whatever. I mean, it's a big deal, and those decisions have major consequences on the little businesses out there and just the city itself and having a team to root for. So kudos to them for actually putting their money where their mouth is, and they're backing it, and they're proud to be from St. Louis, and you got to love that.
That is well put. And this is the second time Enterprise has stepped up, of course, because they signed up for the naming rights of the stadium that never came to be with the the NFL stuff. That was going to be the car rental stadium, so Nashville Car Rental Stadium. So that is well put. Anything else we should know about what is going to be a pretty fantastic time down here at Maggie?
Other than that, I mean, this is kind of the nutty time, obviously, this time of year for us. But the rest of the time, just keep us in mind for catering. We got catering vans. We'll come to you. Nothing's too small or large. We have a 40-person room at the Sunset Hills location for a banquet room or a party room there. We can do up to 250 in our banquet room downtown. So, you know, we try to shuttle you to all the events downtown.
That's a huge deal.
Yeah, just keep it simple. So, you know, just that kind of stuff. Keep us in mind for those types of things. But if and when you're out downtown, if you're trying to figure, hey, where we're going to meet or where we're going to go, we'd love to have you here, man. We fit the mold no matter what you're going to. We'd love to have you.
You got your fingers crossed for this for the Blues not to fall out of the playoffs here, huh?
Man, just as a diehard fan alone, how tough. I mean, it's just what we're used to overall anyway. But man, it's tough. It's tough to be like, oh, they're done again, and then all of a sudden you start believing again. That, like, what's going on?
There's no team that toys with your emotions more than St. Louis Blues.
No.
Doesn't happen.
No. I feel like we're before the Cubs won, we're kind of that same type of deal. It's just you just feel like it's always going to happen. When are they going to let us down? Which I hate because, boy, I love them. And one of these days, and maybe this is a year, one of these days they're going to do it. And once they do it, I think watch that mojo turn. They'll go.
It'll be like the Red Sox,
right. Once they do it, right. Yeah, but I love the Blues, and there's nobody that roots for them more than me. And I'm hoping for the best.
It's fun to have some playoff nights down here.
Man! Or if that ever happened when they got that cup and that marks that thing, that would make that
bring
would
it
make,
on in.
That would make St. Patrick's Day look like a walk in the park. Holy cow! I'd love that.
Good stuff, Eddie. Thanks so much for joining us, man. Thanks for having us.
I always appreciate you guys being here. I can't thank you enough. And Aaron Gobrah, and I will see you guys this weekend, all of St. Louis. Thank you, St. Louis.
You got it, man. That is Eddie McVay, the owner of Maggie O'Brien's. 40-year anniversary this year. They do a really, really good job. Hannah Yates is going to join us because I said so, and here she is, and now she looks disappointed that I said that. We have just a few minutes left here down at Maggie O'Brien's Market Street. Come hang out with us. The Cam Jansen Hannah Yates show is coming up from 4, 5, 6.
I believe the correct term is the Hannah Yates show / the Cam Jansen program.
That is well put. Hi, Hannah.
What's up, guys?
So we were talking some Blues earlier, and I brought up this, and I said we would talk about it on the other side, and then we didn't. So now we are. And that is what I tweeted out earlier. You guys can go follow us at 590TheFan on Twitter. And this was tweeted out earlier. It is a little graphic that shows the last six games. The reason the last six games were put up is because everybody talks about it's a long season, 82 games, a grind. What does six games matter? Well, six games matters a lot for a guy like Jake Allen, who is Mr. Streaky. If you looked at all of Jake Allen's total seasons, he's terrible, but he's unbelievable in streaks. He can be the best goalie in the league for a month. He can be the worst goalie in the league for a month. So you have to look at small sample sizes when you're evaluating him. Jordan Binnington, over the last six games, has a .902 save percentage compared to Jake Allen's .942. By the way, all of Jake Allen's starts since January 8th have been on the road. So Jake Allen has a .942 save percentage on the road. All right, Jordan Binnington, a .235 goals against average versus Jake Allen's .166. Jordan Binnington had one shutout during his last six games. Jake Allen had two. Now Jordan Binnington had won one more game, but they do have the same amount of points, 3-3-0 for Jordan Binnington, 2-2-2 for Jake Allen. Jake Allen is clearly playing better in this moment, and I think anybody complaining about a small sample size has not watched Jake Allen play hockey for very long.
Yeah, it's an interesting situation. You know, people are saying, when are we going to start seeing the flaws or the weaknesses with Jordan Binnington? And now he's starting to get exposed a little bit, and I really think this is happening because teams have enough of a sample size to actually see the type of play that he has and see where those weaknesses are. And he's really just had, mistakes. Even the pass in that game, the last game for him against Arizona, that was just tough for him because it was just a bad pass, and that's something that you wouldn't expect to come. So that's not really an exposure for him, but it was really just a bad play. So it's hard to tell everything going on with him. But right now, Cam and I talk about this all the time. You can't look at the bigger picture at this point in the season because they have to win games. You're looking at who's playing hot, and you're going to play that person. And that's really just the situation right now.
As Eric Messersmith always told us, you ride the hot guy.
Ride them while they're
hot. So,
plus Eric.
That is true. I talked to Eric today. He was on the podcast. I missed that guy. I think that's well put, though, Hannah. And I think Jake Allen, Jake Allen is a head case. Anybody disputing now that Jake Allen is a head case, you have, again, not watched Jake Allen play for very long.
Right.
He's terrible at Enterprise. He's horrible at Enterprise. I don't know why that is, but they have figured that out and only played him on the road. I'm going to pull up his splits right now. Jake Allen, the splits between his home and road this year are unbelievable. And so, look, they've picked up on that. Berube's done a really good job, in fact, of figuring that out. His home and road splits are pretty spectacular. He has an .878 save percentage at home, a .925 on the road. He actually increased that yesterday. It was .924 before the game. Goals against average at Enterprise, 3.65. On the road, he's a .222. All three of his shutouts have come on the road, and they have he's actually played one more road game than home games now because since January 8th, he has not played at home because he's been horrible, right? So maybe that is the split, but I know of the last, I was doing the math on this earlier, of the last 16 games, Jake's played seven of them, right? So it's not like Binnington is getting way more. It's 9-7, But the question is, should Jake Allen be playing more than that, and can you trust him to be playing at Enterprise Center?
Yeah, I mean, I think at this point, they're not even going to care about the location anymore. It's really just going to be who's playing well, and then we're going to put him in the net. And right now, in my opinion, that's Jake Allen. Right now, they're on the road for two more games, so it'll be interesting. Obviously, you have a back-to-back on Saturday and Sunday, so I would assume that Jake Allen would be in Saturday and then Jordan Binnington in Sunday. But I don't know. I mean, it's going to be interesting to see the way that things go. There could have been a lot more goals scored in that game last night, and Jake Allen made some saves to keep him in there. It was really just an overall bad performance. Yeah. And it's hard because at first you're looking, you're like, oh, well, the team's playing pretty well and Jake Allen's just letting in some bad goals. But now it's completely switched. And the right. team, you're just wondering what's happening and Jake Allen's actually making some saves.
This is a pretty incredible stat. I was looking at it over it yesterday. The games that there's a couple of justifications for this. Either they're playing really bad teams, which may be the case. I didn't look at the points scored on this per team and such, where they are in the standings. Or they're playing great defense, one of the two. But in games that they have allowed 21 or less shots, that's happened 11 times this year, they're 4-7 in those games. So nobody gets any shots, but they can't score any goals. That makes no sense.
That is odd. I know last night I tweeted out they had at least 70 shot attempts. The Blues did.
Yeah.
But barely any of them were even making them on net. I mean, it's just the shooting was so bad. Right. And now that's two consecutive games. And I was just asking Cam, how does that even happen? And we were having that discussion on the show last night because how does that even happen,
what?
Cam?
What?
St. Louis Blues have 70 shot attempts.
Oh, I'll tell you how. They missed the net.
Ottawa had 28.
I know. Well,
Cam, I brought this up a second ago. I was looking up the stats yesterday, sorting by the Hockey Reference is great. You could sort by how many shots. All right. In games that they have allowed 21 or less shots,
they've
this
lost
year,
games.
Yeah.
They're 4-7.
It's unbelievably
so
ridiculous.
Now, you would be able to look. I could tell you which teams they are if I pulled it back up. But even bad teams are going to get shots. They're just not going to get great opportunities. You can throw it from the blue line, right? You can throw it from anywhere and just get a shot off. How is it that when they're playing their best defense, not even allowing shots or blocking them before they get there, that they can't put one in the net?
Well, I don't know why they can't put it in the net, but the reason why they lost those games is because you let in a couple stankers.
Right.
And that was probably at the beginning of the year when Jake was letting in some bad goals left and right.
Yeah, I'll look that up again.
You know, just check that out. But why do you it's tough, man. It's a mindset. And it trickles down throughout the team sometimes. And either you guys are all on at once, or you're all off at once. And it's very, very bizarre. But that's true, man. It happens all the time. And a lot of other teams are kind of going through this phase as well. Toronto Maple Leafs just did the same thing, where they get spanked by Tampa, I believe it was, and they didn't perform. And all of a sudden, the coach kind of calls them out, but then he gives them a day off. And then they bring Chicago in town, who, you know, is a hit or miss. And they get spanked in a 4-0 going in after the first period, and they finally come back. And it's different for every team. But boy, oh boy!
So here they are, Cam.
What
they lost? There were a few of them in. Let's see, three of them were last year before the new year. Only
okay.
three of those 11. Okay, so against Vancouver, you lost 6-1 on 21 shots.
just see
unbelievable.
What I mean? Yeah,
all right. Then also last year you lost to the Blackhawks when you only allowed 19 shots. You lost 1-0.
Yeah, did that go in OT maybe?
That one did not. That was a 1-0 game.
Okay.
None of these have gone in OT.
Okay.
So they're straight 4-7-0.
Yeah.
And then the last one that was last year when things were not going well was, I said Vancouver, maybe just those two then. The other one, Minnesota, on 18 shots, you lost 3-1. So there was three last year. There have been some somewhat recently. Obviously, Arizona, you saw, they only allowed 22 shots and they lost 3-1. We saw it. That was just a couple days ago, right? And then that has also happened when you played Dallas. You played Dallas. They had 21 shots and beat you 4-1.
Well, it just means that your defense came to play.
And the goalie didn't.
And your offense didn't.
Right.
So it's like even last night, the D, they're fine. Delzato was fine. We didn't let too many things, too
it was
much
Fabry.
Pressure. Fabry, did you see his body
so
language?
Out of position.
I swear to God. Even in practice, if that happens in your body,
Lou
would have called. I would see. I always would look for that too. The body language thing. He would leave watching the practice.
Yeah.
Come all the way down. You know, it was something to do with that. Or you bang your stick. I couldn't believe it. And he just lets himself go. And the D just read that perfectly. And the seam pass right there. The D showed up last night. They didn't allow that much sustained pressure at all. But the forwards, they can't hit the net. Even Robert Thomas. Okay, look. I thought he had a hell of a game. The guy has the puck a ton. He makes things out of nothing, and he does this, and he looks quick, looks really fast, like top end speed, but he's not finishing. Like he's just not finishing. I don't know what it is.
But the difference is he looks. The difference between him and Jaden Schwartz right now is he looks very composed with the pucks. I think something good is about to happen when Robert Thomas has it.
Schwartz had a couple
Schwartz
nice
looks
plays
spastic right now.
Yeah, but he always does though. Even when he's on, he kind of you know. But he doesn't lose a puck much when he's on.
Yeah.
He hasn't necessarily done that lately. He's just not finishing. He made an awesome play to Ryan O'Reilly last night. Right? He goes behind that. He draws everybody. Look at me. Kicks right back to Ryan O'Reilly. That was a set little play that they read off each other.
Yeah.
He's just got to pick that. O'Reilly's not picking
O'Reilly's
it.
Missing the net.
Missing
the net altogether.
He's
and he
his mind.
Said that. He said that against Arizona. He said, I'm embarrassed for my own play.
Bear down on those.
And he's right about that. In the last two games, the amount of shots and opportunities they had more against Arizona than they did against Ottawa.
Yeah.
But they could have had five goals against Arizona.
Even last night, we didn't show up. I mean, we were just feeling each other out and blah, 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 blah. And it was a slow, boring game. And then the last 10 minutes of that game, we had the
pressure
puck.
Was on.
Oh, my God.
But the second period, load yourself to sleep. There was nothing there.
I know. Like, that, when that happens. And I don't care if wherever you're at, somebody needs to have a momentum shift. Somebody needs to have a momentum hit, something, agitate. Something needs to change because it's just
– And during that 11-game run, Cam, that was the fourth line, where they would hem you in the zone for two full minutes.
And that pumps you up.
Yep.
Not necessarily crushing
And they
somebody.
Have disappeared.
Yeah, Barbie's on a little bit.
They're playing Barbie's fine, on. But they've not done that. The momentum's not there.
I know. Right? Steiner had a chance.
It'll be hard
night.
With even with Sammy Blais out of the lineup for
I
this
know.
Road trip.
Yeah.
It makes a difference. And Joel Edmondson, both of them.
Big time. Big time on that.
You know,
Sammy Blais, I give him credit. The guy's hitting guys, man.
Absolutely.
He is. And that's a pain he has to deal with. It is.
I've noticed that, even when Sammy Blais is on his game, Mackenzie McEachern's on his game. Those two.
They feed off
each other with that energy. And both of them have each other's back, and they're making plays in the corners on the wings on that fourth line. It's an interesting thing to see between those two.
When Thomas was on the fourth line, they were really rolling.
I know.
Right? And
Thomas makes lines better.
Absolutely.
Dude.
When you had the right guy, when Perron's there, when Tarasenko's there, you can afford to put him on the fourth line, but you don't want him having that little minute.
The good news is we have an easy game tomorrow against Sidney Crosby and Gino.
Easiest of the season, I'd say.
They're not playing well. They're really slow now. Oh, my God. And you know what? We might win that game tomorrow. We might come out and say, okay.
Absolutely.
Because if you don't, you play like you did the last two games, you'll be down 5-0. You'll be down 5-0. I don't care what Binnington or Jake or whoever. You'll be down 5-0 against a team like that.
I put out a poll yesterday, Cam. How confident are you? This was right after the game.
Yeah.
That the Blues will make the playoffs. 10% said they're extremely confident. 20% said they were very confident. 52%, obviously the overwhelming favorite here, said they were moderately confident. 18% zero confidence at all.
Do that 2 weeks ago.
Absolutely.
Do that 2 weeks ago.
Absolutely.
Can you go in a time machine? Is that possible? No, but isn't that funny?
Yeah.
It's not funny, but isn't that weird how that works? 2 weeks, a week and a half.
Our discussion last week, Cam, was do they have enough time to take over first place? That was the discussion. That was a real segment on the show. Can they overtake Winnipeg? They got a tough schedule. Nashville's not playing very well.
Can we just find some zone time to put the puck in the back of the net at the right time?
And they're lucky, Cam, while Dallas is playing fairly well right now, that Nashville has struggled and Winnipeg has been just okay. Right? Both of them, so they're not just taking off from you.
No, I know,
yeah, but
I'm not
Dallas
worried about them.
Catching up.
I'm not worried about those two at this point. Like, I don't – okay, whoever's in front of us, fine. I'm worried about the guys behind us. I'm worried about Dallas. Now, Dallas plays tonight, and if they lose that game without going to OT, of course, then we jump back in. Blah, 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 whatever. It doesn't matter. I'm worried about Dallas. I'm worried about Minnesota still.
Arizona.
Arizona, good Lord.
They've won.
Why are
Is
they
it
winning?
10 out of 12 now, 10 out of 13?
I tell you what, if they keep going and they make the playoffs, old boy Rick Tocchet down there might get the Jack Adams Award instead of Barry Trotz. I don't know. Like, good God. Like, there's this – But
who would have thought?
I know. It's very interesting. It's very, very scary. Tomorrow is going to be a massive game in a horribly tough building against the two best players in the world. Good Lord.
Here's our
calling Alexander Ovechkin. So, you said that.
Oh, yeah. Forgot about him.
Here's our silver lining, Cam. Lucas, all the Blues have to do, according to Hockey Bob, is...
He just needs to figure out how to not play bad so often.
That's all you got
to
do.
I know. My dad used to tell me that, and he kept ignoring him. I'm like, Dad, that makes no sense.
Thank you, Lucas. One more time. All you have to do is what?
He just needs to figure out how to not play bad so often.
What was my rebuttal to that? You were what did I – did I –
You're just like
– You just skipped right over it, and that's why
like,
I called
oh,
in.
Consistency is important with
oh, yeah, thank you. I did say
that's
so.
That's the main aspect of being a goalie.
Okay. I think I had to sink in first.
Here's some silver lining. Yes, we know that Ottawa's terrible, but Arizona's playing the best hockey in the NHL yep. right now, at least on paper.
Still, you know, on the ice, not on paper.
That's what I mean.
Yeah.
Point-wise, right? They're on a – they're crushing it. However, the Blues hammered them in both those games. Each of those games, they have a million shots. They're playing fairly well. You let in – Binnington let in a ridiculous goal where he passed it to no one and let it – right? And that led to losing
We
could
have won 4-0 and no one has said a beep about
you
it.
You look somewhat dominant on the ice while not winning. You don't want that to be, but it's the opposite of last year but earlier in the season you said, what's the problem? And they said, we're not giving enough effort. Nobody's questioning the effort. They looked great. They looked a little bit lazy in the second period, no passion, whatever. But they're actually crushing them with shots. They're crushing them. They look good in the defensive zone. They're just not putting the puck in the net.
There is just a big – there was a big difference between that last – and, of course, this happens with – and, again, Toronto. I'll go back. Toronto did the same thing. But when there's that big of a gap in between dominance when at the last 10 minutes of that game when they're desperate than what we saw in the first half, mm-hmm. there's too much of a gap between.
Yeah.
Like, they didn't come out hard.
Sure.
And we're effort – I don't – whatever. Like, of course, guys are going to work, but – You need to be better. You need to go to. You need to find ways to get in. You need to find
ways
to
disrupt.
I
think my point is it looks different than earlier in the season.
Okay, yeah, I'll give you that.
You know what I mean? Like
we had no hope at the beginning of the season.
I'm still encouraged that I think you're a better team, and I think you.
I think we're going to win every game. I go in there thinking like we're going to win, even when we're down. I'm like we're going to come back and win this game.
And even in the second period, I thought, well, I know they're not putting it in the net, but it's like they still look like they're winning the game. They're winning the shift.
And then one bad shift will amplify. So like now. It, when somebody loses their guy on the point like Fabry did, they go down and score. Mm-hmm. Where, like, in that 11-game winning streak, like, we were getting puck bounces. We were getting this. We were doing this. We were creating our own luck. And those plays, somebody would make a big save on. Not saying that Jake didn't make big saves or whatever the case is, but those kind of goals are going in against us now. And that's just the way hockey is, how the tides turn a little bit. We're not doing anything about it.
We mentioned Fabry. Jake Allen legitimately did one thing wrong, and he pulled a Binnington and passed it to the wrong team, and then he jumped in front of the net and saved it. Outside of that, the goal that Fabry allowed, Fabry allowed that goal.
Totally.
That, there was nothing. Jake, you would have had to have three Jakes in net in order to stop that.
Put it this way, TJ. Put it this way. If you – I've done that before, too. The body language part, no, because I'd get freak out mode instead, where you lose your guy. He's walking into the rink in Pittsburgh this morning, and right when he walks into that big, nice locker room they have, they got this big projection TV, his number will be right there. And then they'll turn their lights off, and everybody will know, and he's going to sit there, and he's going to see that clip, and they're going to play it over, and they're going to dissect it. He's going to walk right in that locker room, and his number is going to be the first one on that TV screen, and that's a god-awful feeling. And yeah. We might not see him. That's why they called Jordan Kyra probably back up, unless, you know, if Perry's in or he's not in, I'm guessing he's going to be in.
Wait,
but I think
Kyra was sent back last night. They called him up again.
Yes, they did.
He's made three flights in like 15 minutes.
And they better not put him on the fourth line. I'd put him on. I might even put him with Schwartzy somewhere and see if.
So I said, play him on the second or third line at this point. What do you have
to lose?
Throw
him out there and be like, go do it.
Well, I hope Perron's ready. He's got to be close. He made the trip for the first time, and I'm wondering here. You've heard different people. Luke Horak was saying, I know we got to go here, but he was saying, look, he's got to pass the vision test. Okay, but Berube keeps saying whenever he's ready to join us, he can join us.
That's his own vision test.
It's interesting because we sat in the press conference with Craig Berube, and he said he's ready to go. It's his own time. And I don't mean that to put it on him, but you have to understand, just if you pass the test doesn't mean that your brain actually feels ready. Like, it doesn't mean you actually feel ready to go
in. Cam and I can both attest to this. Your brain never really feels right.
No.
Ever again.
How it works.
But it's not another test from the league or anything like that.
Right. But for him, it could just be the way he's seeing things in everyday life. You know, and he'll have that tin advisor, but it's still, how are you feeling? What are you looking? What are you seeing when you,
when
you're out there?
When he gets done, when he's going to evaluate himself, he's like, I'm not quite there
yet.
Cam,
you're a – you're a tough guy, although you do have a sensitive side.
Yeah.
You're a cat woman.
My little kitty cats.
I will.
Bring me so much.
You've got to think Craig Berube sitting there saying, all right, bro, I got punched in the face for a living. I played how many games? Getting punched in the face every day.
I know. I don't think that's
20
the
years
case.
Ago.
I don't think that's the case.
Certainly not the case publicly.
Because
he's doing a good job of hiding it if that's true.
And if Perry's not right, then he's not going to be productive on the ice. He's going to be slow. He's not going to be engaged. Right. Perry's all over the puck, man, and he gets hit and he gets bounced around. And if he's not there seeing the puck where he holds on to it for 30 seconds at a time in the offensive zone, which we miss so much right now, he shoots the puck. He picks corners. If he's not there, he's going to be so timid.
You know what they've not
He's not going to be a good player.
Cam, over the really over – I mean, just last six, eight games. One, the only guy who – is willing to go in front of the net is Braden Schenn. He's the only one, and he only did it once last night. They're throwing up all these shots, which do no good if you're not doing the hard work to get
you're
one of them to
the
go
making
the
goalie in. Look so good. Why does every goalie we play look like Marty? Marty Brodeur? Seriously.
I'm with you. The second thing, and last night's goalie was really bad, and he's looked
Can't
great.
They look like Dave Rapp III back in the day? Is that possible? No, Marty Brodeur's not.
Okay, second thing, Cam, is what Steen used to do and has done none of this year, and what Perron is unbelievable at, and what O'Reilly does, but more when Tarasenko's around, is win a battle in the corner, throw it right in front of the net, and somebody gets an easy one. Hadn't happened in 8-10 games.
No, it's dirty goals, baby. Yep. They're not direct to the net. Their guys are staying off in the perimeter, kind of hanging out, doing their thing. They might get zone time, but they're not taking the puck and driving the net. And I even critiqued Robert Thomas about that, too. Like, you're doing everything great, and you have the puck, but just – instead of looking, just take it to the net. Have them haul you down. They can't. He's so good at protecting the puck to where they can't do anything. And if they do, they're going to get their stick in a bad spot. And you're going to draw a penalty one way or the other. Take that damn thing to the net. Like first up to the point, get it back, take it to the net, and it just creates chaos and it creates maybe another guy that's open. You can sneak it back door, whatever the case is. But they got work to do, TJ, and I'm nervous.
I expect to hear about Fabry's retirement here shortly. And
I know. I feel bad.
He can't keep up.
I was talking to Mirier. He's not feeling good and about everything. Like his career is just going, it's tumbling down.
He's discouraged.
You know what? 2 years ago, you're just on cloud nine, and you know you're about to sign the contract. You're this, and you're just happy, and everybody's praising you everywhere you go. And now it's just for 2 years straight. Are you all right? Like, oh God, what's up? And it's just tough, man. It's tough for him. I feel for the kid. I do. I honestly do, man. It's a tough.
You know, last night.
You know, your career's falling down.
Last night wasn't a physical mistake, though. That's why I'm pissed.
Oh,
last night was a mental mistake.
No, God, yeah. No, you know? No. He needs to get smacked around for that, and he will in the locker room today for sure. That's right. That's a focus and effort.
If your knee screwed up, bro, I'm sorry.
You buckle, and you can't get there. Yeah. No. You got dangled, and then the body language. And you're like, what? And then the guy went right behind you.
That's right.
I know, dude.
That's right.
I see it.
Parting thoughts from either of you two before you put on an hour-long extravaganza.
5 to 6, baby. We're going to be hanging out. We're going to eat some great food here. We're doing our thing. And hopefully Hockey Bob comes in with some more knowledge, of course.
Hockey Bob, what do you think the Blues need to do in order to win tomorrow at noon?
He just needs to figure out how to not play bad so often.